Our scripture this morning is Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Because the deadline was coming where pastors needed to make the decision, because if you remember, they're cutting back 25 positions. And so my wife and I have decided, because we're getting a little long in the tooth, to go ahead and voluntarily retire a little bit early from conference paid ministry. As long as I've got breath, I'll never quit. And we're not moving anywhere, so you're kind of stuck with us yet. And we'll be happy to do all we can and continue as we are. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because I love the Lord and because I love our people. And we all want to go to heaven. And so that's what fires me every day. Well, anyway, just let you know of that in the newsletter. I mentioned a little bit about that too. But anyway, I don't want to get into all that. That's not why we're here. We're here to worship the Lord. Amen? Okay, let's bow our heads and we will start. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are amazing. You are so good to us. You watch over us. Your hand is guiding every single moment of our lives if we but surrender ourselves to you. And so, just like that beautiful song, your eyes are on the sparrow, and you've told us that we're more valuable than many, many sparrows. Lord, we're just humbled by how much you care for us. So we pray today as we come together to worship you and to open your scripture and to be guided by your words. Father, we want only your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, and we want only your Holy Spirit to take these words and these thoughts, and not to worry about the things of this world, but to get the direction through which you want all of us to follow, to become more like you and prepared to live with holy beings forever. So, Father, take this time together and bless it with your presence, we ask in thy name. Amen. Andrew was 26 years old. He was very responsible and sociable as well, but way back when he was only 9 years old, he'd already started working very hard for his poor family. Most of his life, he worked in the fields, the hard physical labor, until one day something happened that changed his life forever. He visited a publishing house. When he saw the work going on in there, he was deeply impressed by it. He instantly fell in love with the place. All the big machinery and all the stuff going on, technology and seeing printed pages coming off the press. Have any of you ever been to a printing press? A number of you, good. I remember back when I was in academy and Laura Wood still had a print shop, printed things, and I still remember the smell of that. When you walk in, you hit the smell of ink. It's amazing. It's a very impressive place anyway to Andrew, and he was so caught up in it, he suddenly knew he was going to be a press operator. So sure enough, when he got a little older, he went to trade school. He studied hard for 2.5 years. He finally got out, and the newspaper company was looking for a press operator. And wouldn't you know it, he applied, and he got the job. He was a happy guy. He worked hard. It wasn't long, and he finally earned another promotion. And so he wasn't only happy, but he had the great job that he wanted. He was earning money that he was very happy with, and he got along with everybody at the shop. He was sitting pretty. Now, he tells that one of his co-workers that he called, not his real name, but Michael, became a close friend. And Michael, he liked to be trustworthy. He was a good listener. He never talked ill of others. And he seemed very honorable. And they became good buddies. And one day, when they were on a lunch break, Andrew confided something about his past to Michael that he had never told anybody else in his life. He said, "I used to suffer from manic depression. And one day, when I had a job back then out in the fields, I was so depressed, I even threatened to commit suicide." He said, "And the police even were called, and they came to help the situation, and I even spent 3 months in a psychiatric hospital. But I'm doing much better now." That night when he got home, he told his wife what he'd shared with Michael. She didn't think it was a very good idea to share quite so openly. The week went on, and came around to the following Friday, and Andrew's boss called him into his office. It turned out the boss had been told about Andrew's past. He went on to say that although he's a good worker, the company just couldn't risk an incident, and Andrew was fired. He was devastated. The career he had dreamed of, worked so hard for, his promising future, all went down the drain. He was lost. He was now in a nightmare of depression that he felt because of, as he puts it, his friend's treason. He was flabbergasted. He had opened up to this friend, and no doubt in his mind, though, that it must have been Michael, because he had told nobody else, who had told his boss. If you were Andrew, how would you feel? Honestly, anger, rage, depression, sad, disappointment. There's a plethora of emotion, isn't there? Because without a doubt, this is the most horrible experience that Andrew had ever felt. He was deeply hurt and devastated. Now, I'm not sure of all of you, but maybe like Andrew and his family, wouldn't you be willing to trade almost anything in order to erase moments of betrayal or cruelty you may have experienced in your past? Hurtful experiences. But sadly, look as we will, there's no delete key on us. We can't get rid of it. Our past injustices are fashioned and formed and nailed in our memories. What do we do? Well, this morning I'd love to share a gift with you. As we give it away, we will find that you will get more benefits back than you ever gave. Because we can go to the Word of God, amen? It's a gift that we sometimes value, but often we even scorn it. Don't even want to do it. It's a gift that's called forgiveness. It's a gift that returns more to us, but only if we give it away. Because this gift has been wrapped by Jesus himself. It's meant to be opened and used. Let me begin by saying that forgiveness did not originate with man. It was meant for man, though. And today we're going to look at why. Because when we talk about forgiveness, we are at the same time talking about injustices, right? Damage done. Because forgiveness cannot exist without an injustice. I won't ask for hands, but how many of us just think have suffered an injustice in our life? If there's no offense, there's no need for forgiveness. So I share this for two amazing reasons. First is that God was the first being in eternity that was ever offended. And God originated forgiveness. Before sin entered into history, there was nothing to forgive. But when Lucifer rebelled, followed by Adam and Eve's disobedience, their offense was against God himself. And for the first time in the history of creation, a being suffered pain and injustice because of Adam and Eve's sin. An offense had occurred. God was the first being to ever be offended against. And it's incredible that he was also the first to forgive, which is implied in the great text of Genesis 3:15. Forgiveness finds its beginning in the very heart of God. And so why does forgiveness originate there? Because it was he who suffered the first injustice. And he's the only one who has the character capable of forgiving. Forgiveness didn't start with man, it was for man. Why? Because sin exists, right? Even in our lives where there's sin and there's offenses, God's desire is that we forgive as well. Jesus stated this in the most interesting way. If you turn to Matthew chapter 18, a great chapter of instruction and parable. And we're just going to jump down to verse 32 and 33. It says, "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" You see, heaven's expectation is that we forgive as God forgave us. In reality, it's an offense to God, actually, when you think about it, when we don't forgive. And our refusal to pardon others actually restrains God from acquitting us, and we find that God can't forgive. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 15. We see this didn't come from me. Matthew 6, well, let's read 14 and 15. It says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This is serious language. This is the heart of it. There's a paraphrase. This is not a translation, but somebody's thought of what the Bible was saying. There's a paraphrase called The Message that sometimes is fun to read. And don't make it your serious Bible study, but as a paraphrase in the New Testament, in Matthew 6:15, it says, "If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part." On the other hand, I believe God considers it an act of real trust in Him, an evidence that we believe in God's character and His system of government when we do forgive. Matthew 6:14 again, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Can you say amen? You glad? So forgiveness wasn't created by man, but it's created for all of mankind. Because we all get offended against in this sin world. But the character of God can lift us above it. Two things about this forgiveness business. First, when we forgive, we are actually participating with God in something that is extraordinary and of divine origin. Think about that. Forgiveness is a holy attribute. God invites us to be participants with Him when we forgive our offenders, no matter how bad it was. And we thus allow Him to reveal Himself through us in His love, His interests, and His character. Because He's in our hearts when we forgive. And friends, this is not part of the natural sinful nature. It's a holy attribute. Scripture says, we read today in Colossians 3:13, bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Note the wording. As the Lord forgave you, the Bible says. Good question might be, well, then how does the Lord forgive? Turn to Psalm. Psalm 130. Psalm 130 and verses 3 and 4. David is saying, "Out of my depths I cry unto you. Hear my voice," he says. And then he goes into verse 3. He says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Must be it. So he can be loved. He can be respected. Because God doesn't keep a list of offenses when we confess and forgive them. When we ask, "Lord, take this out." And he doesn't just put "pardoned" on there. He blots out the sin as if it never happened by the blood of Jesus. Forgive as is what the Bible entreats us to do. As the Lord forgave, so we should do to our neighbors. That "as" there doesn't mean, just mean that at the same time God forgives, but it means in the same way that God forgives. Turn to Micah, a little book near the end of the Old Testament. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Micah 7, 18 and 19. On the mercy and the compassion of God says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." What a beautiful text. God forgives wickedness, and he will not stay angry because, friends, he enjoys showing mercy. Forgive as the Lord forgives you is what we should do for our neighbors or anyone who offends us. God buries our sins in the depths of the sea. And we need to bury sins that are done against us as well. Oftentimes our sinful nature pops up, doesn't it? And we like to put on our scuba gear and go down and dig up the old hurts. Don't. Leave them buried. You will find a peace that passes understanding. As the Lord forgave you. Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Have you ever driven west and found east? No. You can't. It's forever. It's unending. Isaiah 38:17, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Isn't that a great picture? God takes all your sins and all your problems. He forgives you and he says, "Hey, they're out of here." And he tosses them behind his back. Isaiah 38:17. God no longer sees our past sins because they are covered completely in the blood of Jesus. They are truly gone. Since he's been mercifully forgiven all of our ill-spoken words, all of our corrupt deeds, even our sinful thoughts, that should really put us nailed on the cross. Shouldn't we do the same to everybody who's ever offended us? As God forgives us. Because when Christ forgives you, he doesn't remind you of your sins. If you ever feel that come back up, that's not God. That's the accuser of the brethren. That's Satan. Because for God, it's not even something to think about anymore. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Isaiah 43, verse 25. He says, even I, this is God, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Praise God. We want that, don't we? That's what God calls us to. If you have hurts from the past that left a nail's print that you can't get rid of, this is how you get rid of it. Forgive as God forgave. And toss it out and claim God's power, because he is asking us to do this. He never asks us to do anything that he doesn't provide the power to accomplish. Trust in the Lord. You know, when the Moravian missionaries first went to see the Eskimos, interestingly, they could not find a word in the Eskimo language for forgiveness. They had to make one up. I've got it here. I won't be able to say it right. The word is a compound word made up of 24 letters. It goes kind of like Isu Maje Jojong Nainer Meek. I don't know, something like that. ISSUMAGIJOUJUNNAINERMIK. And what it means, it's a beautiful word, because the connotation for anybody who understands it, because it literally means not being able to think about it anymore. That sounds like a good word for forgiveness. Now you can remember it. Throw that out in your next conversation. Not being able to think about it anymore. Wow. When Jesus forgives, that's the attitude he takes. Not being able to think about it anymore. Doesn't that make you happy? And Christ is our divine example in all things. And he's the only one worthy to be imitated because he does nothing wrong. As he forgave, so should we. And when we forgive, I'd like to offer thoughts that we pass through about three levels or phases to go through. The first one, we discover the common humanity of the one who caused us the hurt and the pain. Because when someone treats us bad, like Michael did to Andrew back in our opening story, we shrink that person down to the size of what he or she did to us. That's what we think of. In our distorted mind, he or she becomes the bad thing that he or she did. We say things like, oh, she's nothing but a traitor. Or, he's a monster. Huh? Might have been. But God tells us how to deal with it. Because with these declarations, or even worse, we beat the humanity right out of that person. Satan has grabbed us and twisted us, and that poison builds within us and will eat us up. But when, through the miracle of forgiving, we begin to see our enemy with eyes clearer, less distorted by hatred and hurt and anger, we begin to see the real person. Not true, maybe a selfish, cruel, or indecent person, a mixture of truth and lies, but we can, with God's help and praying for his eyes, start to see that person as still someone God created, who he died for, who he wants to redeem. By the way, forgiving doesn't mean that you have to be best pals from now on either. Or that he or she suddenly is a person you immediately can trust. Okay? Let's not blind ourselves to reality because they may do something like that again. But we receive that person into our world again as a person who shares in our frail humanity. Still guilty of what happened. But it's somebody that God loves. Just like he loves you and me. Second point, sadly, when we forgive, we surrender our right for vengeance. Think about that a second. In our society today, social media, politics, entertainment, everywhere out there, paints vengeance as the solution when someone offends us. And if we don't do something back at them, then we really don't esteem ourselves very highly, and so our attitude seems to say. Friends, according to my Bible, that's anything but Christian. Vengeance never has an end. It creates one after another after another. That's why entire families at times fought for decades. How many of us might have remembered the Hatfields and McCoys? Comes to mind. Maybe if you're younger, you don't know. You can Google it up. Those of us who try to take vengeance, will always attempt to find grounds to justify it, right? Look what they did to me, so I'm going to get them back. But the only one who can take vengeance and be justified by doing it is God himself. God says, Deuteronomy 32:35, there in the first part, he says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. King James says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Isaiah 34:8 says, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. Nowhere in Scripture do we find it's up to us to avenge the hurts done to us. Even thinking of, dreaming of vengeance that wouldn't even directly affect the guilty party is poisonous, friends. It will destroy you. It operates like an IV, drop by drop, injecting its spiritual venom into our system. And it will eat you up. One note here, the fact that we don't take vengeance doesn't mean that there's no need for justice. I heard one say, one forgives in one's heart in the sight of God, but the criminal still serves his time in Caesar's jail. We cannot ignore the rule consequences play in justice and forgiveness. For the spirit of forgiveness towards our fellow man does not lessen the claim of just obligation. When we forgive and we are not encouraging indolence and idleness and lawlessness and repeat offenses. If you want a biblical story that shows that, think of Moses. He sinned against God, right? He died for his disobedience. And God forgave him, but he still paid the penalty. And then, of course, he was forgiven, raised up, and taken to heaven. The third, we should not review our feelings. We should not review our feelings over and over towards the person we forgive. Not to dwell on it. Because when by God's grace we realize the offender is a human being struggling just like you and me, and we hand our desire to take vengeance for whatever happened to us over to God, then we begin to re-examine our feelings towards that person because we have a new heart. Because God is changing us. He's growing us. And what we felt before was hurt and anger. But now, by asking God to help us replace that hatred with benevolence and love even, we can even begin to wish the best for that person and even mean it. Obviously, from the beginning, feelings of goodwill might be weak. But if we take Christ's counsel here in Matthew, I believe Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, yes. Matthew 5, 44 and 45. Well, let's do 43 also. It says, ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Sounds like the vengeance thing, right? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Pretty direct counsel, isn't it? Something we all struggle with. But when we do, then we can be sure that we are with God as a team to realize the miracle of forgiveness and healing. If you want to read more, you can go to the Christ Object Lesson starting on page 244. She speaks at depth about it. We don't have time to go into that. But friends, do you have someone you need to forgive? Have you been carrying around some scars that you tried to bury, but they're still there? Or maybe fresh hurts and offenses? They all need to be brought out and forgiven by God's power. If anyone has sinned against you, a little offense, or it might be a huge one, might be recent, might be long ago, but I beg you, ask God to truly forgive you of the hard feelings and to give you his power and forgive that person. Because if we follow our Lord's example, he forgives us. Let us forgive those who sin against us. Evidence of Christ in our hearts. And if you struggle with that, consider the foundation of that struggle and draw closer to God. Because it is an amazing thing, this forgiveness. The more you give it away, and the more benefits come back to you. Even if the guilty people don't ask for forgiveness, we can live in an attitude of forgiveness and not allow our hearts to be filled with spite and anger. And also, friends, if somebody does ask for forgiveness, don't question the sincerity. That's not up to you. You need to forgive irregardless. And you will find a peace that you've never known before. No matter how horrendous you have been sinned against. Christ Object Lesson, page 249. Ellen White reminds us, I quote, "If your brethren err, you are to forgive them. When they come to you with confession, you should not say, 'Well, I do not think they were humble enough. I do not believe their confession.' What right have you to judge them as if you could read their heart?" Close quote. Great statement, huh? What a reminder for all of us. Bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Colossians 3:13. I praise God. Those are, to me, they're impactful. It's something I pray for and I ask God for. And I have found he does give it. And as I still continue to be with him, he continues to grow me, and I know he will you too. So friends, consider that. It is an attribute of God. It is something that comes from you when you have the heart of God. If you hold hatred, if you hold vengeance, if you have that down deep inside, God can root it all out. Draw close to him. He'll do wonders in your life.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we may not know the song or sing it very well, but Lord, what wonderful words. As it calls us to consider something that happens to every one of us. Satan has caused hurt and pain, injustices to come into each one of our lives, and Father, some are less and some are horrendous. But Lord, I pray for your Spirit to come into each one of our hearts as we contemplate the great forgiveness that you have given to us, and recognize that we need that attribute in our heart and our life, and we plead for your power to take that and to forgive all of those injustices that have been done to us. Because we know they come from Satan. We want the character of God. Amen. And so, Father, empower us, teach us, grow us, give us the power to do this amazing thing and to exercise this gift of forgiveness. And Father, then we'll know a little more of that wonderful peace that comes from your throne. So Father, take us, grow us, and take us safely out as we go out into the world this week. May we find ways to interact with people around us that have so much hatred and have so much division Lord, and point them to the one who died for them. Help them to maybe come as we invite them to our mind fit. Father, there is so many out there that is carrying unfit hearts, but only you can heal. And so, Father, give us the courage to invite them and to start a relationship with them so that your Spirit can work through us and touch lives around us as you've called us to do. And so, Father, we praise you for your goodness, your long-suffering with us. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for throwing our sins into the depth of the sea as we forgive others. So, Lord, give us that joy today. We ask and we pray because we come in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.